This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Pets Allowed, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
It is time for your favourite show all about pets. This is Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. My name is Kevin. I'm joined in the studio this week with by Kate.
Yep, just me. Hi, Kate. Just Kate. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Good.
It is the second last Pets Allowed this week for the year. There will be a Pets Allowed special next week. A bit of a wrap-up of the last.
Putting something special together, aren't we?
Yes, Ozzy's going to be putting it up because Kate and I will be away. Yeah. We're both heading off. I'm heading to Adelaide and Kate is heading up to Sydney.
Yeah, for Christmas.
For Christmas, yes. So for many of you, the end of your holiday is only hours away, just like us. Or maybe now that you're on your lunch break, your brain is already on vacation. Yeah,
there probably could be a few Christmas lunches happening out there.
I imagine there would be quite a few.
Now, some people, are they my their car packed? Not like you.
No, yeah, I'm so not prepared. Tonight. That's all going to be done tonight.
No, ready to head off on holidays as soon as the clock strikes five or maybe six or a bit later. While some of you will be staying put and, you know, at home for the festive season.
It is going to be quite a busy time at the Lost Dogs Home, however, because, you know, we do have quite a bit of craziness when it comes to... this is one of the busiest times of year
it
for
is,
us. You
yeah,
know, there's a lot of fireworks, there's a lot of people going out, going
right.
away.
We actually see an influx of the dogs and of dogs and cats coming in. And it is cat season as well. Cats breed in the warmer weather, so we are usually inundated with warm bundles of kittens.
That's right. So it is going to be all hands on deck for Christmas and New Year. So this week, we're going to continue our summer special series to give you useful advice on how to keep your pets safe and merry this time of year. Coming up on the program today,
with temperatures rising and fire bans in parts of the state, we catch up with CFA Education Officer Alisa Byrne again about how to keep your pets safe this summer.
We'll also be looking at some tips on holidaying with or maybe without your pets.
And Catherine, our veterinary practice nurse at the Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic at the Lost Dogs Home, will take us through some of the typical health issues that impact cats and dogs during the summer months.
We'll also be looking out for potential Christmas and summer hazards that you sort of need to watch out for.
And at the tail end of the program, we'll have Dog Date.
There is plenty coming up on the show today. This is Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. It is time now for...
the Pets Allowed News Wrap.
Love
a look
music.
At the news of the week from the Lost Dogs Home.
it is the Pets Allowed News Wrap. We don't wrap it, unfortunately. We do just tell you what the news of the week has been. We have tried it before. Yeah. It's been interesting.
Yeah,
we'll
see
what
practice,
happens.
Think,
yeah. Look, we did have a fair bit of a hot day yesterday.
Yeah.
And always around this time of year, especially around summer, we kind of urge pet owners to think about their pets during the hot weather.
That's right. So after having our first real blast of summer yesterday, a day of over 40 degrees, it's a good opportunity to remind pet owners out there, as you said, Kev, to be ready to care for their pets during summer. There's things like their heat stroke, which can be fatal for pets and actually can happen quite easily. So things to avoid, to help your pet avoid getting something like heat stroke is to not exercise them in really hot weather, even though they might.
I had this problem last night. So everyone that listens know that I have a border collie and I brought her inside because it was a lot cooler. But she was then, because it's cool, she was like, no, it's fine. We'll run around inside. It's fun. We'll play.
That's
We're not going for
I
a walk
good.
Today. It's like 40 degrees outside.
Yeah, they don't realise. So you have to make those decisions for them. Make sure they have fresh and cool water available at all times, because that's how they will cool their body down. It's really important.
Yeah, that way you can put ice in it as well. You can make sure you've got a bucket. Like, I actually have basically three different receptacles that she can get water from. She's got a bucket, she's got a bowl, as well as her swimming pool that we have.
And those
clamshell pool.
Yeah, those shell pools are really popular. I think that we've got those in the shelter as well.
Yeah, we do. When it gets really hot, we bust those out of the shelter.
A cool place, as you said, you brought her inside. That's really important. But, you know, if you can't bring your dog inside, make sure that, you know, probably got a really good shady tree, or they can get in a shed or somewhere. And I guess the biggest message of all is don't leave your pet in a car at all.
It's pretty much forever.
Yeah,
unless it's like 10 degrees out outside, please don't leave your pet in the car.
Because even when it's like 25, mid 20, you know, it can heat up to, you know, really hot in a matter of minutes in a car. So even just winding down your windows, parking in the shade, that's not good enough. They can still die of heat exhaustion or heat stroke.
So we will be talking about some sort of heat impacts as well a bit later, as well as some things to think about during summer. We also had a lovely story that went up on our Facebook page this morning about the lovely eggs.
Oh, we love eggs. Eggs is beautiful. So beautiful. If anyone wants the most beautiful cat in the world, well, one of them.
Yes, he is one of the most beautiful cats. We have plenty at the moment, but he is one of the most beautiful cats. Five-year-old eggs arrived at our shelter after being hit by a car and left on the side of the road. Now, he looked like he'd been in that condition for about a week. Mm. He couldn't, he had like sort of a dislocated / broken jaw.
Really nasty.
And also his front paw was really damaged as well. So his front leg, actually. His whole front leg.
It was paralyzed.
Yeah, it was pretty much paralyzed. So he was sweet. Look, he couldn't put any weight on that front leg, but he was in a lot of pain. He had a lot of scratches and bruises, but he was still trying to give everyone pats and cuddles, and he was trying
very smoochy.
Headbutt everyone because he was so beautiful. We fixed his jaw up. Unfortunately, the leg didn't make it. He had to have that amputated, but he was in foster care for quite a while with Melissa as well.
We just adored him.
And she, absolutely loves him. We really want to find eggs a really great home. He loves food. He loves eating. He's not a big fan of beef, though. He's more of a fish and chicken connoisseur. Guy. Yeah. but now he's back at the shelter and he is looking for a new home. So you can check that out on our Facebook page, which is The Lost Dogs Home.
And it's a good opportunity to adopt an adult cat at the moment, which Eggs is. I don't know how old he is, but he's a mature cat because it's half price.
It is half price adoptions at our North Melbourne and Campaspe shelters for adult cats.
We are
going to be covering this a bit later as well, but there is also half price adoptions at our Warra shelter in Queensland. You did preempt it.
I did. Sorry,
now, also this week, Kate, you've got personal experience with this one. We want more foster carers.
Yes, we have. And I've just successfully fostered my first dog. Yay!
No Pants Friday. He's so cute.
On account that he had a very shaved back end.
Yes, he had to have his back end shaved because he had patella surgery.
On both knees.
And so he looked like he had no pants on.
So someone said, oh, he's no pants. It's No Pants Friday. So he's No Pants Friday, but Friday for short. And so we are looking out for more foster carers to come in and help us look after dogs like Friday, who's had patella surgery, sometimes young kittens that need to grow a bit or put on some weight before they're ready for adoption and to be desexed. Cats like Eggs, who Melissa fostered for several weeks while his jaw healed.
Occasionally you get underweight dogs, so I've had a couple who just needed to put on some weight, put on some food.
Yeah. And the home supplies you with everything that you need, so bedding, food,
no cost to you.
Just have to supply a home and lots of love. And sometimes, you know, time is important too, but, you know, you can continue to work. You don't have to be home all day as well. And it is the most rewarding thing. So if you're able to open up your heart and home to a temporary friend, you can apply online at our website at dogshome.com, or you can call the shelter on 9329 2755.
And speak to our foster care coordinator as well.
Yes.
And now tune in to Dog Dates in the program. We will be chatting again about our December promotions at the moment. But right now it is time for our...
This week's Pet of the Week.
A little really sad-faced Pet of the Week this week. Alistair, he's a lovely cat who is at our North Melbourne shelter at the moment. He is absolutely adorable. He's really playful. Mm. But in the photo I managed to get of him, he actually looks quite sad.
But
Kate, you've met him before.
Yeah, he's beautiful. I've actually had someone get him out and he's, you know, ran around the adoption area. They didn't actually choose him. They chose someone else. But he is gorgeous. He's got amazing... One eye's got eyeliner all around it, it looks like, and the other eye hasn't. He's, you know, lovely cat that loves pats. He probably would be best in a quieter home because, you know, he might not get on with other cats or perhaps too many kids. So he also requires some brushing as well because he has got a longer type of coat just to keep it all untangled. But you'll find him, as Kev said, at our North Melbourne adoption centre. His number is 954298. He's a male. He is 2 years old. If you want more information, you can call our shelter on 9329 2755.
Or check him out on our website, dogshome.com, or otherwise on our Facebook page as well. And you can find that via our Joy program page, joy.org.au. Coming up, we're going to be hearing from the CFA with Alyssa Byrne, who's an education officer there. She chatted to us about sort of bushfire survival plans and that kind of stuff, and just keeping out for says summer. Pets Aloud with Lost Dogs Home Joy 94.9. It is the second summer special that we are covering with sort of bushfires and heat and pets and everything like that and holidaying and stuff like that as well. We've had a couple of questions in from, you know, everyone. We like people when they get in touch with us.
They're going to say they love the show.
That's right. We've heard from Simon. He said, "Hi guys, love the show. I'm interested in doing some volunteer work with a shelter. Do we take volunteers? What's involved and how would you imply?" Yes, we do.
Yeah,
we have lots of lovely volunteers at
Lost
Dogs Home.
Very important, yeah. They make a big difference.
They do. And we do. There's a couple of different things that volunteers do at the home. They help us out with admin stuff, as well as walking the dogs, as well as patting the cats, playing with the cats. So it really
just helping us at events quite often. Yeah. We relied very much on volunteers for events.
Yeah, when we're at, say, midsummer next year, yes. Which we will be at the start of next year. So, definitely, Simon, we love volunteers and we'd love more volunteers. You can get in touch with us via our website, which is dogshome.com. There's a page on there which says support our work volunteers. Volunteering, and or you can give us a call 9329 2755 and speak to our volunteer coordinator.
Yeah, thanks for your interest and
yes,
offering to help.
And we also heard from Sarah from One Faggy. Hello, Joy. I got my dog from Lord Smith a long time ago. She's 14. She saved her life, and she was next to her from when she got home from the hospital with a stuffed knee. So that's good. Her name is Molly. She spent a lot of time with her, looking after her when she was recovering from surgery.
They're really important companions, aren't they? Our pets makes a big difference.
That is it. And that's why we want to keep them safe, especially when it comes up to
summer,
because it is obviously, you know, a pretty big time. So you don't need to live in the country to be impacted by bushfires, and in particular grass fires as well. If you live on a farm or in a suburban area which is surrounded by grassland or paddocks, you, your family and your pets need to consider the risks of these kind of fires, bushfires, grass fires, etc.
That's right. Yesterday was declared a day of total fire ban in parts of Victoria, with temperatures reach 40 degrees higher in some parts of other parts of the state. Oz checked in with the CFA education officer, Elisa Byrne, who starts off here by reminding the value of all pet owners living in country Victoria to have a fire safety plan ready for
each pet.
Pet
has to have its own bushfire survival plan, like we talked about last time. And I think if you are going away and leaving your pet, it's really important to have a conversation with your neighbours before you go about if they might be able to go and help your pet if the bushfire does occur. And also you'd have to probably look at boarding kennels and places like that are in low-risk areas.
Hmm.
So maybe putting your pet in a boarding kennel or a cattery or whatever that's actually in a township or something, not in a rural area. Those are the sorts of things you can do to keep your pet safe during summer from fire. And in terms of people that are holidaying with their pets, I mean, it's lots of fun actually sharing that experience with your furry friends, be it camping or going to a pet-friendly destination. Yeah. What sort of suggestions do you have in particular for people that are thinking about hitting the bush and having a camping holiday?
Well, as I talked about before, having a kit ready for your pet, so making sure they've got all their bits and pieces ready to go, so things like food and water, a bowl for each pet, a second collar and lead, bedding, a woolen blanket, a carrier for some of your smaller pets, like cats and things like that, a pet first aid kit, and you can seek advice from your vet about that, or you can probably just go into a pet store and pick up some supplies,
mm-hmm.
Any medications your pet's taking, and your pet's medical history, including their proof of vaccination, and any contact details on the pet, so any permanent type of identification or microchipping.
Mm. So in terms of doing your research before you go camping, what would you suggest people do to look at national parks and see whether there's, you know, any possible fire danger coming up around the time that they plan to holiday?
Yeah, what we sort of say to people, Oz, is that they, and this is just regardless if you're holidaying with pets or not, it's stay aware of the fire danger ratings for the area that you're visiting. So you might have seen, people might have seen the fire danger rating boards around. You can actually jump on the CFA website, or we even recommend people download the CFA smartphone app.
Hmm.
And that they can actually keep aware of conditions about where they are. So find out the total fire ban district they're in, and you can actually jump on the website or the app and get a four-day forecast for where you're going to. So if you're heading off, say, Friday up into the Mallee and you can see it's going to be an extreme day, maybe you might alter your plans, you might postpone them, but just staying aware of those local conditions is really important.
Pets Aloud on Joy 94.9.
All throughout the program today, we are talking about summer. We're also talking about holidaying and, you know, whether you're thinking about going away with your pets or if they're staying home. Now, we did just hear from Elizabeth, and we're going to be talking to her again. We've got a bit more about sort of grass fires and bushfires. Yeah. But we were talking to her about sort of survival plans as well as thinking about if you are going away, to think about looking at the forecast in that area, seeing what's happening in that area at the moment and then going there. But, Kate, just quickly, there's a whole bunch of stuff we can talk about going away, but we might just cover some very important points. We have talked about this. We have done programs on these before. Yeah. So check out our podcast at joy.org.au. But, yeah, first, it's just a couple of really quick things.
So if you're going on a road trip with your pet, driving.
Absolutely.
So I guess make sure you make plenty of stops or an appropriate number of stops that your pet needs. Discuss with wherever you're going, whatever your destination is you know, your pet's is
welcome.
Do they have other pets? Is their property safe for pets? If you're going camping or into a caravan park, are you able to bring pets into that area? Make sure it's a pet friendly destination. You can check with National Parks Victoria. Make sure your ID is up to date and on your pet.
Definitely a mobile phone number as well, because especially if you're in a different state or something like that as well. It's definitely something to think about.
Contact you and bring something that they're familiar with, like their bed, their toys, that sort of thing.
Food,
so
that kind of
even
stuff.
They're in a different environment, they'll feel more secure if they've got their bed and with their smell on it.
And just think about, like, what are you actually going to be doing during the day? Do you have time to spend with your pet? Are they going to be coming with you to locations, or are they going to be left behind? Because that's another thing that will stress out.
That will stress them a lot if they're in a strange environment and you're not there.
Now, CFA is expecting a higher than average risk of grass fires because it is getting a bit hotter this season. So we thought we'd have a bit of a chat with Alyssa about that kind of stuff. So about, they're doing a bit of a grass fires promotion at the moment, sort of make a campaign to make sure people are aware.
That can affect a lot more people than just farmers.
Than just bushfires and everything like that. So here is the second part of our interview with Alyssa.
Now, the CFA is currently running a grass fires campaign, as far as I understand. What is this all about?
Well, basically, grass fires have always been a risk in Victoria. We've obviously got lots of grassland, and grass fires are very fast-moving fires. But this year, CFA has put a bit more focus on it just due to the growth we've had. Whether you're living in an urban environment or a rural environment, it doesn't take much to see all the growth around from the rain we've had.
Mm-hmm.
And this provides a bit of a problem for CFA over summer because obviously that fuel dries out very quickly and can cause fires. So what we're saying is it's not just about a risk if you're living in a rural environment. There's also quite a risk this year for people just living in general urban environments if they live next door to a park or things like that. And we're just asking people to be mindful about that. So keeping a clear break from their fence, doing some slashing and mowing, take care when using chainsaws and lawn mowers and things like that, welders, anything else that could sort of start fires accidentally. And just being aware of their conditions yet again. So we're not saying that people need to do a full-blown bushfire plan if they live next door to a grassland reserve, but we are just saying just keep an eye on conditions and make sure you do those few safe things around your house.
Would it be worse for pet owners to have just a kind of fire safety plan for their pet?
Most definitely. And I would sort of say it's not just about fire safety. It's just about emergencies in general. Mm. So just having that first aid kit there. And I think we talked about last time, my pussycat Elliot has all his bits and pieces at the door. And that is for a fire predominantly because I live in an a rural environment. But, I mean, that could be for anything. That could be... even if he's ill and I need to transport him quickly, I just know where all his things are and he has all his bits and pieces ready to go. So I'm not running to the shed trying to find the cat carrier, you know, running to the laundry trying to find bits and pieces, trying to find his blanket. It's all there ready to go. So I would say that anyone having a pet, it would be a good idea to have a kit with all those things we talked about before.
And I think also, considering that it's the holiday season, if pet owners are considering a pet sitter or taking their pet somewhere to stay, having a kit like that will also come in handy as well because it's all ready to go.
That's right. And it's also talking about wherever you're dropping your pet off. So if you are dropping your pet off at, you know, your mum's, dad's, grandma's, if they're living in a rural area, finding out what their plan is with your pet. So if you are heading, say that you're flying to Sydney for 2 weeks over Christmas and you're leaving your pet home with mum or dad or whatever, and they live in a rural area, finding out what their plan is with your pet. And if you drop your pet off with the kit and say, this is you know, this is my dog or cat or whatever's kit, these are the plans, this is what I want you to do. That just makes that person a little bit more comfortable about dealing with your pet during an emergency and making sure they can take care of them.
Big thank you to Alyssa Bourne from the CFA for having a chat with us about that. Well, you know, obviously we do podcast the show, so if you missed any of that, you can check out joy.org.au. For more information about sort of grass fires or anything about the CFA, check out cfa.vic.gov.au.
Now we're going to be talking more about holidaying without your pet.
Yeah, so if you know, you're not like one of us, or Kate, you're going away.
I'm going away.
But you're not taking your pets with you.
No, and I think you need to decide early on if you're not going to take your pets with you, because you need to plan what you're going to do with them while you're away and make sure that they're going to be safe, either in a boarding facility and they can book up really quite quickly, or you need to leave them with someone who's responsible.
So you could be leaving them with friends or family. So that's the kind of thing you need to make sure, whether they're going to be staying in your home or whether the dog's going to be going with them. Or the cat's going to be going with them, especially around Christmas and New Year's. You just make sure that sort of you can trust them, that they're not going to be going away
lock them in early. Yeah, that's right. And, you know, meet up with them before you go away, maybe even a couple of times, just to go through your pet's routine.
Maybe write a bit of a handbook for them.
That's right.
I've done that in previous years.
User manual
on the dog.
I've done that too. Pages and pages just to make sure.
That's right. And it's just about making sure your pet's going to be comfortable.
That's right. You have that peace of mind when you're away, knowing that they're safe.
Now, you can also look at getting a pet sitter, but that's more for if you're looking at going away for maybe 1 or 2 days, if they're going to be someone that's coming into your home, just to look after them. It depends. If you're finding someone that's going to keep the dog or cat in their place for a while, then that's okay. But again, they might book up really quickly as well.
But that's a growing business, I think, of people sort of who will come and live in your home and, you know, for weeks at a time, if you're doing the big overseas trip.
So make sure you check references and things like that as well. If you want to, make sure they've got a police check, that kind of thing.
That's right.
And provide them with all of your emergency contact details.
And you probably need to budget for that too. So, you know, you include that in your holiday budget, I would say, because these things, like boarding kennels, can
they
be
do
quite
cost,
expensive.
Yeah. There is another method, which is where someone just calls in, but that's kind of more suitable for cats, especially if you're going for a couple of days.
Cats are quite independent, so they'll be happy just to probably prefer to be in their own home environment rather than taken somewhere strange like a boarding area. But dogs being more companion.
Absolutely. If it's say like 1 or 2 days and they're going to be spending an hour or two coming into your home, then that's okay. Yeah. But, you know, you really need to think about that, whether it's comfortable for your pet or not.
Yeah.
Pet accommodation, as Kate mentioned before, there's plenty of those out there now as well.
Catteries,
and more opening.
and they're getting posher and posher, as, you know, we expect
they
more.
They are. There's ones with spas and TVs
and you can Skype your pet
rooms
and all
that
sort
like
of
that.
Thing. So, you know, it depends on what budget you have
that's
where you can send them.
But definitely factor that into your budgeting
again,
as well.
Again, I think references or something like that they've probably
got
testimonials.
Yeah, if you've had friends that have stayed there or
anything
like
that.
Yeah,
some of them are probably better than others.
Yes. Coming up, we are going to be hearing from Catherine, who is
our practice manager
at the Lost Dogs
and
Frank Samways Vet Clinic, just to talk about some sort of issues that are coming up, you know, being summer, what kind of happens there. This is Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Hey, this is Mel B on Joy 94.9, wishing you all a safe and very happy holiday season.
Thanks, Mel B.
Such a distinct voice, hasn't she?
It's lovely.
Yeah.
Now, the Lost Dogs Home Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic treats not only private but also shelter patients and are especially busy this time of year.
I caught up with veterinary nurse and practice manager Catherine Edwards to learn about some of the summer-related health issues that may impact your pets.
We do see a certain sort of issues during summer. Some of the issues are heat stress, people maybe not realising that it is 30 degrees, and even though the dog's excited to go for a walk, maybe it's not such a good idea. So we do see a lot of heat stress, maybe people leaving the dogs in the car a little bit longer than they might have, maybe that they should have, which is not a good idea.
No, you think that message would have got true by now.
But sometimes you don't realise how warm it gets in the car, and especially even if you leave the windows down a little bit, the car can heat up quite a lot. And it doesn't take long for the dogs to get really hot. They don't sweat like we do, they pant. So leaving the dog in the car for 5 minutes can be quite detrimental to its health on a really warm day. And it can be 24 degrees outside and it can get to 30 in the car. So it's just being conscious of how warm it does get and how quickly that heat builds up in the car when they are left in the car. The other thing that we do see more numbers of during the festive season. It sort of coincides with Christmas and New Year's and Easter. We see things like pancreatitis. Now, pancreatitis is a really sore tummy for doggies. And how that generally happens is people have a party and they have family members over or friends over, and they say to their family and friends, please don't feed the dog. Then when the owner's not looking, the family and friends think, oh, you look really sad. You look really hungry. Here, have a piece of meat or have a piece of chicken. And sometimes maybe the dog's got an oversensitivity to fatty goods. And obviously a lot of stuff that we eat at Christmas can be a little bit fatty.
Very fatty.
there's also lots of things that people don't realise that aren't suitable for dogs, you know. So chicken wings, chicken bones. You might think that a cooked bone is a good idea because the doggy looks hungry and sad, and you give it to the dog and they do splinter in their tummies and it can cause lots of issues. But generally it's just those main fatty foods. And just when somebody says to you, please don't feed my dog, they probably mean it.
Yeah.
Because you don't want the little doggy ending up in hospital. It can be, if serious cases of pancreatitis can be life-threatening. So it's really important to stick to the rules of, you know, what can the dog have? Ask the owner. If the owner says, look, you can have a little bit of ham, call it quits after that little bit of ham.
And I think also with your own dogs, I think, you know, it's Christmas, you're enjoying a really nice dinner with the gravy and the pork crackling and all that sort of thing. And your dog is, as you say, looking at you, please, you know, can I join in? And you just have to think, no, you know, as much as you know, you would love to give them a treat. Sometimes that's not the best thing.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes if you do want to give your dog a treat, if you're having a barbecue or having some sort of meat product for your meal, cutting that little bit of meat off before you cook it, popping it aside so that when you are having your meal, if you want your dog to enjoy something with you, you know, cut off that little bit of fat that's on the meat, give it to the dog so you're, you know, you're giving that dog an extra special treat, but it's a positive one. It's not one that you're worried that, you know, the dog's going to get sick from. So that's always a good way to do it. The other thing that we can see high numbers of, and that's usually spring and summer, is allergies. So allergies to grasses, allergies to bees, maybe the dog gets stung by a bee, those sorts of things. So the animals end up either with a rash or they end up with puffy faces and stuff like that. So it's something that, look, we do see quite frequently during spring and summer because there's lots of bees out. Because we've had a bit of a colder start to summer, there's not as many bees out now that probably should be. So I think once this warmer weather hits in the next few weeks, I think we will see an influx of those allergies from those bee stings. And it's just really important that if you do notice that your dog is getting an allergy, either like a rash and or showing up with a puffy face, puffy faces are really important to seek veterinary advice for, because if the dog has a really bad reaction, they may need assistance. But generally it's a good idea to talk to somebody about it.
You're on Pets Aloud with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. You're currently listening to our summer special. We're currently hearing from Catherine from the Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic, chatting about some of the issues we find in summer.
So, Cathy, in summing up, what are the main things pet owners need to keep in mind to keep their pets healthy during summer?
So the two major points from what I've discussed today would be the heat stress, because it's very easy for animals to get overheated in this sort of weather very easily, and also the sore tummies, the pancreatitis. You know, we love them too much and they end up getting sore tummies, and we don't want that to happen.
So be conscious of what you're feeding them.
Conscious of what you feed, conscious that you've provided enough water during hot days. Use buckets if you need to with bricks in them. Freeze some bottles, empty bottles of Coke with water in them, you know. They're really good. Doesn't matter if they crack in the freezer, they're not going to pop. And then pop them into the bucket of water to try and help keep the water cool. Make sure the animals have got enough shade. If you need to stop off at the supermarket, maybe it's a good idea to pop your dog home first rather than going to the supermarket. And the other thing is too, if it's a really hot day, tying them up out the front of a supermarket isn't always the best thing, because there's no water either. So it's not always a good thing. So they're the
and
two.
The concrete can be quite hot
it
too.
Can
the
be.
Sun's coming in there.
So it's just really important to sort of think before you act sometimes and make that decision for the best interest of your pet, because, you know, they are family members and we love them dearly. So
that's right. Sometimes just, you know, thinking ahead, or even just a bit of tough love, you know, in terms of we're not going to go for a walk today, or we can't eat this.
And maybe if you can't take them for a walk, if it's really hot, you know, go down to a dog beach or get a little, the little shell blue things
for
your kids.
Yeah.
Dogs love them.
Yep.
And even if your dog likes water, hosing them down.
Yeah.
You know, just those little tips can sometimes help the dogs get through those warmer months. And not everybody is able to allow their dogs inside. So if you're in a position where you can't do that, there are so many things that you can do to help keep them cool. And if anybody's got any concerns or any questions about that, then more than welcome to contact the clinic and we can definitely discuss, because there's more options available, there's lots, and there's definitely things that we can help to keep the pets cool during summer. One of the things that I didn't mention but I thought I might just mention now is that there are these little jackets that you can get. I think they're called Cool Dogs or something like that, and they're for the dogs travelling in the car. Not everybody's got awesome air conditioning, and sometimes on those 30 degree days, and we're getting one really soon, it's very hot, dry weather. So they're actually jackets that you wet down, and they allow the air that's coming in through the window to circulate around the dog, and it's the air gets cooled down by the cold jacket and helps to keep the dogs cool. Oh, so if you are going to go on a long trip on a really hot day, sometimes they're a good investment as well.
Yeah.
So there are lots of different ideas. So, if you want any more information, contact the clinic, I suppose. That would be the best thing.
Your first port of call.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, thanks, Cathy. That's been great.
No worries.
Catherine Edwards there from the Lost Dogs Home Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic. Look, the proceeds of the clinic all go to support the thousands of lost, abandoned and surrendered cats and dogs that we receive at the shelter each year.
That's a great practice. So the Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic will be open over summer, and we'll also have some special hours on festive days. Christmas Eve will be open from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Christmas Day we will be closed. Boxing Day we open again at 9 a.m. through to 1 p.m. New Year's Eve we're open from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. and New Year's Day we're open from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. You can contact the clinic by calling 9329 2755 or visiting us at 1 Boundary Road, North Melbourne.
You check out all those details on our website as well, which is dogshome.com. We just wanted to say a quick shout out to Marie and Cora, who are up in Queensland. Now, Cora's 9 and she's arranged a raffle that she's doing. She's standing at the front fence of their house to get people to try and raise money to buy dog toys. But she actually wrote to Wayne Swan, who is the former treasurer? He was the former treasurer. I wrote to Wayne Swan and said, hey, look, I'm going to do this. And she actually got to go meet him. He gave her a hamper to give to us as well, and great photo. So thank you so much for that, Cora and Marie. There's some photos on our Facebook page that she's posted up there as well.
I think her mum calls her the bulldozer of fundraisers. Because I think her mum sort of prepared her for, it might not work,
some
you might not get a response.
But she did what she could, and she's done such a great job.
And that's for our Warra Animal Shelter in
Queensland as well. This is Pets Allowed from the Lost Dogs Home. Enjoy 94.9. It is the last 5 minutes of Pets Allowed for this week. We will be back next week with a bit of a special best of show. Oz is coming on for that. We will have a few different things to cover. It is time for dog dates. Now, we did mention earlier in the program, but we have quite a few promotions going on at the moment. Kate, what's happening?
Well, I think one of the most exciting ones is half price adoptions at all of our Lost Dogs Home shelters in our Campaspe shelter in Echuca and the Lost Dogs Home in North Melbourne. We're offering half price on adult cats.
So that's any cat over the age of six months.
De-sexed, vaccinated, wormed and microchipped, and they would be $47.50, which is a fantastic price. Normally they're $95. We're also offering half price adoptions for dogs and cats in our Brisbane shelter at Warra. So if you're looking for a pet these Christmas holidays, it's a great time to settle in a pet while you're home or and have time off work. Please visit one of our shelters.
That's right. It is till the end of the month as well. So you can check out all the information on that on our website, which is dogshome.com. You can also find all of our pets looking for new homes as well.
They're all there.
Now, it is December. It is National Pet ID Month. So we just want everyone to remember the messages of National Pet ID Month. To identify, update so that you can be reunited with your pet. So identify, visit your local vet or a registered microchipper, or get down to the Lost Dogs Home Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic. We have discounted microchipping down there. And also, you want to think about getting a separate ID tag.
Yeah, we also do engrave tags there as well, or you can order a free pet ID tag on our website.
That's right.
Petregister.com.
And to update, so ensure that your name, address or telephone number hasn't changed in the last however long. You might want to check that as well.
And even just double checking everything. We've got it all correct, because we were doing a chip check a day the other day and someone had we had it down as a 6, but it was a 0. So just simple things like that help.
And just checking as well, that their collar is still sort of attached and proper and not going to break off anytime
soon. That's right.
Soon,
and that if you have a tag on it, like an engraved tag or even council tags or pet register tags, you can read them, because they do wear out and wear thin.
Now, if you're thinking about giving back this time of year, it is Christmas, you can donate to the Lost Dogs Home through a couple of areas. You can either drop them off directly at our shelter if you're looking looking at dropping off some food or toys or things. But we also have Christmas trees at Best Friends Pet Super Centres as well.
That's right.
Which you can sort of give them a gift card or some food or something like that
I guess you can buy whatever you want in the store and just pop it under the tree. Yeah, a gift voucher. So that means that we can go in there and get what we need
That's right. And so that's at every single Best Friends Super Centres and at a handful of Woolworths, well, I say handful, but it's more like 70.
Yeah, it's Woolworths stores
across Victoria as well. You can find donation bins where you can just buy some dog food and drop it in there as well. Now you can check out more information on those on our website as well. Now, Kate, do you have our pet of the week there?
I've got lovely Alistair here. Just a reminder about Alistair. He's 2 years old. He's grey and white. He is a stunning looking cat. A little bit shy, but warms up and he will be a most affectionate companion. His ID number is 954298 and you can find out more about Alistair at our website dogshome.com or call the shelter on 9329 2755.
Thanks to Kate for joining me in the studio today, Oz, our producer, Alyssa from the CFA, as well as Kathy from the Lost Dogs Home Frank Zanway's Veterinary Clinic. Well, Kate
thanks
and
to
I
you, Kev.
Oh, thank you. Kate and I are off for the week. I'll be in Adelaide, Kate will be in Sydney, but Oz will be joining you next week with the best of. We'll see you next year. Thanks for listening to Pets Aloud.
Have a happy Christmas.
Have a Merry Christmas.
And don't forget
Pets Aloud, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Glad someone remembered. Don't forget to walk your dogs.
And pat your cats.
This has been Pets Aloud.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.